Welcome to the Future of Medicine podcast. My name is Dr. Aaron Wenzel, and my hope is simple, that this show helps you along your journey to become the healthiest, strongest, and most vibrant version of you. This podcast is brought to you by Brentwood MD. Brentwood MD is located in Nashville, Tennessee, and provides best-in-class concierge primary care. Learn more about our innovative approach to primary care at brentwoodmd.com. Now, let's explore the future of medicine. Hey, everybody, before we jump into this episode of the Future of Medicine podcast, I wanted to give a little context. This is going to be the first episode of a three-part series from a talk I've done recently as a guest to a group of very successful business owners, entrepreneurs, and investors in Dallas about a month ago, all around longevity and my perspective on things that I think are the most important to be focusing on. And this first episode is going to be my longevity framework. It is the basic breakdown of all of the elements that I think through with my private members in regard to maximizing one's experience in life in terms of length and quality of life while managing risk. I really hope you enjoy it. People seem to be excited about the framework and find it very actionable. I hope you do too. Let's jump in.
Those of you who don't know me, I'm Bowman Halligan. I'm managing director of Bernstein. And on behalf of my colleagues, welcome. And thank you for coming for what I'm hopeful is a very interesting and thought-provoking conversation around a topic that is relevant to all of us, our health and our longevity. Now, a couple of you asked well in advance, why does Bernstein put on an event like this? And it's a great question. Yes, we manage $800 billion for some of the most sophisticated institutions and successful families in this world. And you know what that does? It conjures images of every firm you are likely familiar with, right? But we are very distinct in the industry in the sense that we're not a bank, we're not an investment bank, and we're not a trust company. And that's very important because it allows us to act in a fiduciary capacity. Meaning legally, sounds novel, doesn't it? We act in our client's best interest, right? Now, that ethos flows through to the foundation of our firm being research. We have the largest and without doubt the most respected independent research organization on Wall Street. Now, most of that research funnels into the investments that we make on behalf of our clients, but a lot of that research focuses on things that affect our clients every day. I'm a business owner looking to do some pre-transaction planning and mitigate my tax liability. I'm a family looking to maximize my philanthropic intent. I'm a generational family thinking about the best ways to effectively transfer wealth to the next generation, or I'm thinking about family engagement, family mission statements, family governance. And then that flows to behavioral health, consolidated reporting, aviation services, and concierge medicine. So my retort when I got that question was, as an intellectually curious firm that aspires to add value far beyond managing money, why wouldn't we host an event like this? Because it is said that we all have 1,000 worries in any given day. We do. But when one of those is your health, you only have one worry. And so I think that this is a critical topic, and it is relevant to all of us. So I am pleased today to be joined by Dr. Aaron Wenzel, who is a health asset manager at his practice, Brentwood MD, that he started in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, Dr. Wenzel believes that time is our greatest asset, but nothing is more important than our health. Sounds novel. But the challenge many people face in achieving optimal health can be elusive when pursuing it through our sick care model. Most experience a slow, generic, and reactive approach to their case because it's healthcare's incentivization. It's completely backwards. The infrastructure and economic backing tend to be tied to disease management, not to disease prevention. And if you think about it, all the ads that you see on TV, they're all focused on get you on this pill and you're on it for life. Thank you very much. It's a nice little economic model for them. But Dr. Wenzel and his team are beholden only to their members. And they provide a structure and support for members to achieve health goals that are as ambitious as their professional and personal goals. So our goal of today's conversation is to cover some of the key areas that everyone should be thinking about and focus on the transition of our current healthcare model. So we want this to be interactive. If you have a question, raise your hand and we'll address it. We are certainly going to save some time for questions at the end, but we're gonna dive in. Thank you for joining me. You ready?
Ready.
All right. So look, you and we've done this before. We did this when we were in Nashville, and you're well known for saying that 90 is the new 60. In fact, it's the title of your new book.
Yes.
So let's kick off our conversation there. Can you elaborate on why you think that this is possible?
First of all, thank you for being here. It's an honor to sit in front of a bunch of successful people to be here with Bowman and AB. I just want to clarify, I take conflict of interest very, very seriously in my line of work. I'm not being paid to be here. I'm here because I want to be. None of the things I'm going to talk about today am I being paid for. The products I mention them because I believe in them. So let's do it.
Let's do it. So talk to me about 90 is the new 60.
I have a deep belief that for most people, achieving a level of vitality is at our fingertips that fundamentally could add 2 to 3 decades of vibrant living to the back end of your life. I think it'll be a bell curve distribution, and there are some outliers, and there'll be some overachievers. But I truly believe with the convergence of technology and understanding, and certainly foundational to that is a doctor-patient relationship where the only stakeholders are the doctor and the patient, create a completely different trajectory as one thinks about their health and their future and what is possible. I just want to submit an idea for you to ponder and how it may affect you, and that is, if you knew with certainty you could add 25 years of vibrant living to your life, would you love different? Would you invest different? Would you act different? Would you make different decisions? If 78 for men and 78 for women and 76 for men wasn't when we kind of put the X on the chronology, if you could back that out 3 decades, what kind of impact could you make in the world? And if you missed the mark and only added 15 years, how valuable would that be to you? I want to submit to you that it is very possible, and for the first time in documented human history anyway, that adding these types of years is possible.
Thank you. So we're going to dig into that, because our audience today, and I know many of them are high-performing folks. Many of them are business owners and entrepreneurs, and most of your clients and most of our clients are that type of people. People who are proactive with their lives, they talk to us about the main areas. So talk to us about the main areas of health and longevity that you talk to your clients about and you focus on.
There's a lot of synergy between your clientele and our members. Our members tend to be incredibly successful in their personal lives, in their professional lives, but they have this glaring blind spot called their health. And they're moving into their futures with lots of confidence economically and relationally, and they don't have a complementary confidence in their health. There's a lot of guessing and unknown. And what we aim to do is to provide that health confidence that would then match kind of the other areas that are foundational to the human experience.
We all, and I fall into this bracket. I go to my yearly physical, I get my blood panel, it all looks good, eat better, sleep better, and you're good to go, we'll see you in a year, right? But you have a longevity framework that you talk to your clients about. Walk through the audience with that framework, and that's gonna really be the basis for how we dive deeper into some of the things that I think people don't know about.
Yeah, I put it up here, I don't know if you can read this, but there's essentially a 10-part framework that creates the lens that I look at answering questions for my individual members. And if living a long time and feeling great is not something that is a priority for you, then nothing I'm going to say is going to be all that useful. But if this is interesting to you, I would suggest that the very first step is you have to believe it's possible. If you don't believe it's possible, you'll never even begin the journey. So if there was one thing I would love for people to believe or fall on as they leave here is this belief, like, wow, maybe it is possible. That would be a move in the right direction. The second thing you have to do is believe that it's worth it. You might believe it's possible, but if the prize isn't worth it to you, then you won't do it long enough to achieve the benefit. Just like we all believe in investing, we believe it's worth it, and we do it. Self-advocacy, I can't beat this drum loud enough. You have to be the largest, most vocal member of your own band, and you cannot expect to have an atypically great outcome if you lean into a sick care model that by definition will put you through the paces of general health population guidelines. So being your own self-advocate would be the next step. You've got to find your own team. Just like you have your wealth team, you have your team at work. If there's an area of your life that needs improvement, you likely are missing a who, and you need to find that person, and they bring the right hows and whens and whys and all of those things. So find your team. Again, assuming you want to live a long time and you smoke, nothing else I'm going to say is really going to matter. It's the number one cause of preventable death on the planet. If you aim to live a long time, stopping smoking fundamentally has to happen today. And the good news is, if you don't have lung cancer at the time that you stop, by the time you get 12 months out, you're approaching population risk for lung cancer. We're incredibly resilient as a species. Stop smoking. Number six, this is kind of the holy grail for me, assuming you don't smoke, and this is delay metabolic disease. Primarily, I'm talking about insulin resistance.
I'm going to pause you right there. I actually Googled this. I didn't know what a metabolic disease was. Naivete.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Metabolism is the scientific phrase that we use to describe taking energy from food and turning it into usable energy intracellularly. And all of the biochemistry and physiology behind that is really about the transfer of potential energy in food into usable energy. And when we get into energy dysregulation states, this is where we get metabolic disease. The number one disease on the planet, nothing will outpace it worldwide in the next 20 years, is diabetes. Diabetes is nothing more than energy dysregulation. It is the inability to manage the amount of potential energy you're consuming. And although my North Star would be to prevent, really it starts with delay. I would because if you mess around and delay it long enough, you'll prevent it. And so delaying chronic disease, primarily metabolic disease, hunt for killers is number seven. My North Star is helping people live a long time and feel great. And the only way I can do that with any sense of confidence is I hunt for the things that statistically are most likely to take us off the earth. Everyone in this room, the number one risk to all of us dying is heart disease. It's not even close. Number two is cancer, and number five is dementia. When we go through the rest of the top 10, we start seeing other these metabolic diseases, obesity, diabetes, these kinds of things. So hunting for killers, if living a long time is something that you want to do with your team, having an active strategy for hunting for early indication around heart disease, cancer, and dementia has got to be paramount. Early diagnosis, we'll talk about some really cool emerging technologies that I'm using day to day that are helping me get eyes on these things nice and early that all of you have access to if you ask for them. They will be unlikely unless you're in a concierge situation where your doc is actively practicing this way. Going to be presented to you. This is where self-advocacy, being invested in this for yourself, asking for these by name. Health multipliers, just like we talk about wealth multipliers, these are activities and behaviors where one unit of energy in gives more than one unit of benefit on the back end. And I have some things to say about things that really, really multiply your efforts in terms of health.
Give me a couple examples there. My wife's always pushing me to go hiking. So talk to me about a couple.
If we stop this conversation right now and longevity was the goal, the science would say, and I'm paying attention to the best thought leaders in the world in longevity right now, there's probably nothing we can do that is verifiable through the scientific process that would be more useful than strength training, exercise. It is Lean muscle mass into our future is the gateway. Almost all chronic disease and aging process is a byproduct of sarcopenia, which is the loss of skeletal muscle. So any type of activity that increases or preserves lean mass into our future will go a long way in pushing that curve out and to the right. And strength training is the single greatest activity that we could do. That is an example of a multiplier. And then never retire. When I say never retire, it means retire in the traditional sense, where you work hard, so one day, maybe if you're lucky, you get to do nothing. That's a death sentence. When you send your mind to pasture, your body will follow. The science shows it. Mortality rates 12 years after retirement are staggering, almost unbelievable. I would submit that retiring should be the day where you stop working for any reason other than your reasons. And then you never really have to retire. Part of the never retire, and I didn't have a slide for it because it does in a standalone thing, but it's part of the never retire, is always be adding younger, new friends. Appropriate younger, new friends. Something happens at the end of life where everyone around you is dying and suffering. We are herd creatures. We migrate and navigate in people who are like-minded. It's very important to be bringing in younger people into your circle because they offer fresh perspective, outlook, goals, and vibrancy that is essential for living a long time.
Let's go a little deeper into these areas, because I talked about the annual physical. You get your blood panels and things like that. Maybe you get a CT scan. And I remember from our last conversation, you said no one ever dies from stage one cancer.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Hunt for the Killers. What are the innovations in testing and prevention that you're most excited about?
I will clarify. I used to say no one dies of stage one cancer. To be more precise, it would be incredibly unlikely to die from a stage one cancer. It's technically possible. But cancer kills you the later you find it. If you find it early, it's by definition localized and you can cut it out and you're disease free. It's something scary that happened to you that you dealt with, and then it moves along. If we wait till it spreads, there's often bad outcomes, and those are stage 3 or 4. So early detection is the key. I would say, if you go to the next slide, one of the first emerging technologies around the number one killer of humans, which is humans. This is actually my clearly study. If you have a pencil handy, this is a test that I would be asking for. If you're 50 or over, I would highly recommend considering adding this as a baseline. This is like a three-dimensional heart cath without all the risk of going to the cath lab, the anesthesia, and the procedure and the recovery. This is a fancy CAT scan, and then we upload these digital images to an AI-based platform called Clearly. 2 years ago, I had my first Clearly, and I knew it would be perfect, and it was not. And I was furious for like 2 weeks. Exposing blind spots is really important, because I'm a big believer in truth telling, and I think all progress begins with telling the truth, even if it hurts. And the truth for me was, at 48 years old, I had, can I stand up?
Sure.
You guys probably can't see this. How many of you have heard of a calcium score? A cardiac calcium score? This 10 years ago was like super innovative and everybody was doing it, and it was like the best thing you could get. It's still something you can get. It's just kind of useless now that we have Clearly. I got it, and my calcium score was 23. And you can see here, it was actually 20 a couple years ago, and then 23. And what that would tell you is, if I had zero calcium, that's pretty good. 23, I don't know, it's not perfect, but it's not bad. The problem with calcified plaque, this is the amount of plaque in our arteries that is calcified. This is end-stage plaque. This is like a stone. This is stable plaque. Calcified plaques do not rupture. Heart attacks and strokes take place when a plaque is unstable and ruptures. If it goes to your brain, we call it a stroke. If it goes to your heart tissue, we call it a heart attack. Unstable soft plaque is what ruptures. Calcium scores give you zero optics on soft plaque because it's not calcified. I had 10 times, 224. This is millimeter cubed. This is a metric of volume. Doesn't really matter. 224, 10 times the amount of soft plaque in my arteries that I was completely blind to. After some honest reflection, turns out, I did ER for 13 years. I ran a department for the last 5. I didn't sleep a lot. I was also starting a business. I had 2 kids and try to be a good husband. And I try to do some other things that are like noble and awesome. And I punt sleep, like a lot of us.
Turns out working nights and not sleeping is a tremendous risk factor for developing metabolic disease, hypertension, insulin resistance. Yours truly. And it was Fat Aaron. Fat Aaron got fired a few years ago. He's no longer around. But part of the consequences of becoming Fat Aaron for about a decade was I had this plaque. And you can't really see it, and it's sad that this is so small. But you can see this is a cross-section. This is a clearly study of my left anterior descending. This is the Widowmaker. And there's a huge plaque here and a huge plaque here that I now know of. So it kind of suffocates a lot of the excuses, and it really brings conversation to a place of honesty and making informed decisions. And if you have someone who has your best interest in mind and you have this kind of data sitting in front of you about your own health, it's a lot different conversation on whether, hey, Bone, do you want to do some statins or what? Well, I don't know. I heard they're bad. Well, they're not without risk, but you got this thing. What do you want to do with it? So this is clearly, again, I would highly recommend for anybody, if you're super maniacal and you just want to know in your 40s, that's cool. But 50, I would grab it, a baseline. And then based on the results, I would do them sequentially.
And that's different than just your standard CAT scan.
Yes, this is a CAT scan of your heart with contrast. The acronym is a CCTA, a cardiac CAT scan with angiogram. And you can get the CAT scan, no problem. But getting the clearly is going to be tough unless your doctor has a relationship with clearly. They only partner with certain imaging centers that have to validate all the machines. And so it's kind of a boots on the ground manual process where they will say, yeah, we'll run our study on this because we validated this machine. Because a lot of these CAT scans are really, really old and not very valid. We became really bullish on this early, and it was a cluster. We had to send to a cardiologist. And then the cardiologist was getting nastograms from their administration because we would rather just take them to do what's called a diagnostic heart cath, and like the economics weren't aligned, and so it became friction. So we just set up this relationship. Because we can, because we're not beholden to anybody. But your doctor, you can ask for my name. Clearlyhealth.com is their website. Highly recommend.
So question?
I agree with you. Interesting, I think, in the pipeline is that Medicare is going to try and cover it.
There's been some chatter, and it's really encouraging. And that would be a huge domino to fall. Yes.
Well, and that brought up sort of the point, you touched on it, is that the economics aren't in your favor. For some of the things that we're going to cover, they're not going to be recommended by a traditional PCP because they're not covered by insurance. So many of these tests that we're going to cover are out of pocket.
Right. Yeah, and this is kind of like, there are economics tied to this. It should cost you around $2,000 for the imaging. The CT cash price in Nashville is about $500. We charge about $1,500 for the clearly study, and we get it back in a couple of days, and then we review it. We project it up here like this, and we dissect it. There's no cardiology appointment. There's no nothing. So it's a highly streamlined, highly efficient process. But yeah, I mean, when you're trying to do healthcare, which this is what I'm doing here with myself, and what I'm imploring you to consider is healthcare for yourself. It can't be done in a sick care model, because the way they get reimbursed is for disease management. And so if you don't have the right disease codes, they can't get the tests and they can't. So this is, I think it's the greatest marketing dupe of all time, calling that card in your wallet health insurance. It's sick insurance. It's only useful if you're sick enough. There is no help, like any, your gym membership, your trainer, your yoga, your Pilates, your fitness, your cryo, your red light, like all, you have to, those are all health things. Your diet, your Whole Foods bill. If you get sick, you can pull that card out. Where the friction point has really kind of bubbled is we're now at high deductible. Most people here have high deductible insurance plans with the HSA. So we've effectively all become cash payers anyway. So it's like, I have to pay $5,000 to $7,000 a year for my sick care before you'll even kick in. Anyway, so it's really kind of, it makes me excited because I think people are waking up to that they've never paid more for getting less. And there's a way better way to deploy these dollars and effort.
Thank you so much for your attention. It's the most valuable thing you could ever offer me, and I don't take it for granted. You can find out more about today's episode and all of the other resources we have at BrentwoodMD.com. Be sure to check out all the other content we've created by searching BrentwoodMD on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. If our content has ever provided you with value, it would mean the absolute world to me if you subscribed to our show and left a review. This helps us ensure more people just like you can find our content so they can begin their journey of optimizing health. To learn more about the concierge services we provide our members, visit BrentwoodMD.com. And now for the obligatory disclaimer. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or the giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should seek the advice of their own medical professional providers.